this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze. Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze. Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feidelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.
Hey, Trent, are you getting enough?
Am I getting enough?
Yeah.
I'm never getting enough.
Smitty, are you getting enough?
I don't. In what context?
Just in general, are you getting
enough? Am I getting enough? No, I can never get enough.
That's the thing. I don't think anybody's ever getting enough.
Yeah.
And I bet you'd love you could get more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more. They want to give you 10 free gifts. So first, you go to AdamandEve.com. The first thing you pick up is a sexy surprise for her. You can get a vibrator. You can get a sex toy, some sexy lingerie for her. The second thing you're going to get for free is a special toy just for him. Don't give me that look. Smitty, I can tell you're a little uneasy about a little toy for him.
Oh, that's...
Just, you know, give it a chance. Get into it a little bit. And then there'll be some free gifts that both you can enjoy. And you'll get 6 full-length adult DVDs. That's the best deal I've ever heard of in my life. You get free shipping on all the entire order. And you get 10 free gifts. It's really not that hard. So just go over to AdamandEve.com and select one item. It could be an adventurous new toy. It could be lingerie. Anything you desire, like I said. And just enter the code KFC at checkout. It's 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item, 10 free, and free shipping when you use the code KFC. So before we started the show, and if you were following along on Twitter last night to your boy Smitty, he told us that he was arrested last night. And he had the audacity to say to me, I don't know if you want to go into that. No, Adam, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about jerking off for the 4 millionth time on this show. We are definitely going to dive into the Smitty getting arrested saga. We also have Big Daddy Trent from Iowa, special edition of KFC Radio this week. Trent, you just moved. How's that going? That's always miserable.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, as bad as people say it's going to be, it's worse once you do it.
Have you gotten to the point where you just will pay movers, or are you still trying to do it all on your own where you just...
No, it's always me and my brother have this thing where when one of us moves, we help the other guy. And it's a good deal when we first start. It's like, all right, this is going to be good. We'll knock it out. And then by the end, we want to kill each other. We're dripping sweat. And it's, like I said, moving, people always say it's terrible. It's even worse than people say it is.
But that's a hardcore country move, like getting friends and brothers and everyone, like donate. If you ask me in a city environment to help you move, I don't care if you're my son, my dad, my brother. It's a fuck off.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't only ruin your life. It ruins the life of the people around you.
Right.
Because you're like, if I had to do it myself, which I couldn't, but I'd just be like, that's fine. I don't care. But bringing everybody else into it, now you're just like, everybody hates you.
And I know paying for movers can be an expensive process. What I've done is I've found the cheap movers who inevitably break something, lose something, take 10 extra hours. Whatever, that's worth the sacrifice in my mind. So I'll just hire like a couple Mexican dudes in a truck, and whatever happens to my shit, so be it, as long as I don't have to do the moving myself. That's where I'm at.
And when we do it, I don't care if half my shit gets broken on the way here. We just shove it through hallways, upstairs. I don't care.
I throw out perfectly good things. I'm like, oh, this laptop, I don't want to throw it in the fucking garbage. I don't want to move it anymore.
It's all casualties of war. Every single
It's ridiculous.
Session.
The only thing worse than moving is being incarcerated, getting arrested. So
I don't know about that. I'd take a night in the slammer.
I would take a night in the slammer for having to move my shit from place. I don't think I'm never moving again. This is it. This is it for me.
You stay put.
This is it. I don't care what happens in my life.
Either I die or I live here forever. One of the
Looks nice. Looks spacious. Looks like a good spot.
It's all right.
So I saw a tweet this morning from Smitty #OutlawSmitty. He's saying, you know, the police finally caught up with me. He was tweeting at Prez saying, you know, everything he said about handcuffs was no joke. And I didn't know if it was a joke, if it was blog related, if it was serious. So, you know, here we are now. You kind of alluded to the fact that this is a long saga, but I think everyone's in for a little bit of story time. So why don't you explain the tale of Smitty the Outlaw?
Well, I mean, the long story short, I mean, it's all real. I was definitely locked up for a bit last night. It's not as bad as it sounds.
You don't look bad for having been in jail last night.
I fresh and showered.
Yeah, all right. Cleaned
it's
up
a
well.
Must.
Did that stink off you?
The long story short is I accidentally started a fire in a Wawa in Avalon 7 years ago. and
what? 7 years. And how does one accidentally start a fire?
We were walking back from one of the bars. It was me and my two buddies, and just being stupid 22-year-old drunk, I wind up and punt one of those realtor signs, like, to the moon. Mm-hmm. And there's a cop there who's younger than I am. Pulls up, just like, yo, what are you doing? I'm just like, oh, sorry, sir. We're just trying to get home. He's like, good, get home right now, or I'm going to lock you up. I'm like, all right, sorry. And we stop by Wawa, which I don't know if you guys know, is just like the convenience store.
It's the best.
Convenience store in, you know, around Philly. And we get hoagies, which is a must, and Philly Blunt cigars for whatever reason. And one of my buddies was trying to light up the cigars inside the Wawa and couldn't do it. So I was like, fuck this.
You're getting Philly Blunts just to smoke as themselves?
No. Yeah, which apparently is a no-go.
Yeah.
I think you're the only people on the planet who bought Philly Blunts and smoked the tobacco out of them. Yeah.
Just, hey, young and crazy wild kids. I don't know. So he can't get it lit, and I'm just like, fuck it. And I take the whole book of matches, strike them all at once, and it catches his oiled-up hoagie wrapper, and the whole thing just... Oh, blows up in the flames. And that same cop, along with like other buddies, just swarm in. They were watching us the whole time. He jacks me up against the wall. He's like, all right, I'm taking your ass. I told you to go home. Now you're committing arson in Wawa's. Berates me for like 5 minutes and eventually calms down because he's like a 20-year-old kid. He wasn't going to take me in and do the paperwork. Right. He's like, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a disorderly conduct. You pay the fine. You show up in court. And I won't ever hear from you again. Like, yes, sir. Thank you very much. He pulls away, and almost instantly, I just ripped the thing up.
Right, yeah.
Fuck yes. I don't live in Jersey. Like, when is this going to come back to haunt me? So about a week later was my court date. Obviously didn't show up. And a week after that, I got a letter in the mail that there was a warrant out for my arrest in the state of New Jersey.
I got warrants!
I knew it was going to come back to bite me in the ass at some point. I just didn't know when or how. Like, I imagine being, like, 35 years old, my fiancé, driving her parents down to a nice dinner after a night in Atlantic City, and all of a sudden get stopped for a traffic ticket and get pushed up against the hood and taken in.
So has that just been in the back of your mind for 7 years?
Yeah.
That every day you wake up like, yeah, I could get arrested today.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what I went on in a previous podcast, why I had to go to court. I was driving to my ex's place in Jersey in March or April of this year. And I was coming from happy hour, which I'm not condoning drunk driving, not condoning buzz driving at all. But I probably had like 3 drinks over an hour and a half. I wasn't blowing a .08, but then again, I wasn't going to try to even come close to a breathalyzer.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had happy hour and dinner in Philly, and I'm driving to the ex's, which was about 25 minutes away, like right over the bridge in Jersey. And for whatever reason, there's a sandwich in my car, and I just had dinner. I don't know why I'm grabbing the sandwich, but I go down to grab it, pull a little swerve. All of a sudden, lights come up.
The sandwich. That's a damn sandwich. Yeah. Did you win, bro?
So I pull over. It's not my first rodeo getting pulled over. I have my license registration ready. Apparently, you're not supposed to go and grab anything out of the glove compartment. I didn't know. I just instinct. Like, you get everything good to go. The guy comes up to my car. My car is a piece of shit, which actually did me in last night. My car is a piece of shit. The passenger side window wasn't rolled down, so I had to roll down, like, the back passenger side window on the side of the highway. Have it already out for him. Like, how you doing, sir? He's like, good. Do you know why I pulled you over? I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I pulled a little swerve back there, didn't I? He's like, yeah, what were you doing? And I, for some reason, sewered myself and thought, going for a phone would be better than going for a sandwich.
Idiot.
Because I thought it would sound more realistic in my mind. Because, like, I don't want – the last thing I want is to do a breathalyzer test. Like, I'm, like, trying to avoid that, whatever. So I was like, oh, I was going to text my girlfriend. She lives right up the street. That I'm coming. It's like, you realize it's illegal to text and drive or use your phone in state New Jersey. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm from Pennsylvania. I know it's not legal there, but, you know, I'm sorry. I'm trying to, you know, be a common man, shoot the shit with them a little bit. And he's like, be honest with me. Have you anything to drink tonight? And like I said, I'm trying to be honest with him. So I'm like, I'll be up front with you, sir. I'm not going to lie. I just came from dinner and happy hour in Philly. I probably had two drinks over the past 2 hours. Then I threw my statistics out, and I'm like, I'm 6'3", I'm 230. Like, I know how to handle myself.
Smitty's like, I came from happy hour, I'm shit-faced, I picked up a hooker, I got an 8-ball in the back, anything, and I'm texting while I'm driving. Anything else you got here?
Well, I mean, once I threw out my stats, he had enough. He's like, step out of the car.
I can't blame him. Cannot blame him.
Yeah. I go to the front of the car, and he told me to put my hands on the hood, and he's like, okay, I'm going to give you a DUI test. Do this for me. Put your hands out, look straight ahead, and go foot to foot, 9 steps up, turn around, and do 9 steps back in a straight line. Which, I'm kind of happy I had a couple drinks in me, because sober, no chance. No chance at all.
I don't think I could do that right now. I'd be
exactly all over. Exactly. So I had just amount of like a little buzz to where I'm confident to do anything and not care about it. So I go up.
You know what that's called, Smitty? Drunk.
No, I'm telling you. I was not drunk. Like, it was like a little bit of nerves in you. Like, you know, get for a football game. You don't know what's going on.
This is a good lesson for the kids out there. If you want to pass the DUI test, get like 2.5 drinks in you and you'll have the confidence to do it.
I'm absolutely not condoning that whatsoever. But I go up, I do the 9 steps up, do a quick turnaround, do a 9 steps back, crush it. Absolutely, I do like a pirouette at the end. And he knows it too. He gives me a psh, you're all right. Now keep in mind, he gave me a psh, you're all right. I was like, oh, thank you very much, sir. He goes back to his car, I go back to mine. I'm sitting there for like 30 seconds, nothing happened. I get the fuck out of there. No harm, no foul. I actually go straight to the liquor store for you kids. Go to the X's, and about an hour passes, and I'm like looking for my wallet. I'm like, shit, I don't have my license. I'm thinking,
well, you just drove away from the cop? Like, did he say you could leave?
He gave me a psh, you're all right.
Yeah, but you wait for the cop to drive away or say you're
what always
go.
Happens is they send their car and they run your information.
Yeah, well.
So you just drove away?
I just booked it.
And I don't think you emphasizing the psh, like that's not a, oh, you're free to go. That's not a thing.
No, he gave me a psh. Like, who does that? You gotta give
me. I can't believe this is a guy who burned down a Wawa. This is.
That was an isolated incident.
A psh is not a, like, free and clear.
And I'm thinking back, like, dude. He absolutely should have pulled me over again and, like, really gave me the whole 9 yards. But I'm talking to my ex. I'm like, what should I do? Because I have that bench warrant in the back of my mind. I'm like, this motherfucker, like, they probably have a sting operation waiting for me if I go and recover my license or registration. And I'm like, how hard is it to get your registration back? Like, whole things are going through my mind. So I decided to call the police department and, you know, throw out there, see what they had. And the guy's like, you know, if he has your license, he'll call you after his shift. Go to bed, 3 a.m., I get a very nice voicemail from the officer, pull me over. It's like, Adam, I have your information. Please stop by the police department before 11 a.m. tomorrow. Pick it up. I'm like, all right, I'm in the clear. Go and pick up my stuff. Another cop was there, gives me a look, and he's like, oh, you had quite an experience last night, huh? I'm like, one might say that.
You're walking into a trap.
Yeah, because the officer left you a summons to appear in court. It doesn't say what it's for, which is odd, but you'll find out when you go to court. And that worries me to death.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm done. Like, 7 years of interest on that $300 fine? That's like fucking, it could be, you know, $10,000. Like, I don't want to pay that. I don't want to do jail time. So I'm like, Jesus. So the guy I've been doing the podcast with, Craig, he's one of my good buddies who was on The Bachelorette. He also is a lawyer for Lundy Law, which is a good Better Call Saul sort of thing. Like, if I were to fall down right here, I'm suing someone for
$50,000.
Call him, tell him the whole situation. He's like, all right, I'm going to suit up and come to court with you, and we'll figure it out. You're not saying anything about the bench warrant. We're seeing what they got.
To me like in Good Will Hunting when they send Ben Affleck to be the lawyer. That's what I'm envisioning right now. I need a retainer.
There's a whole bunch of other stuff that happened at the courthouse, but like, long story short, we go in and the traffic court, which in Camden County is
not what you want to see.
The low, yeah, the most eclectic people you can imagine of scum there. And we're sitting there, and the prosecutor comes out of the room. He's like, Adam Smith, me and my lawyer. So it's like, all right, go into a back room. Prosecutor's motherfucking stoolie. Like, everywhere. So, I mean, he's like, he's like, what are you doing tweeting out this morning that you're going to war with the Camden County Courthouse? I'm like, I'm sorry, should I have not done that? He's like, no, you shouldn't have fucking done
it. I got to plead ignorance. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that?
So we shoot the shit for a little bit. He's a really nice guy. He didn't help us out or anything. He didn't give us a deal or whatever, but just like, okay, go back and like do what you have to do. I ended up pleading not guilty to the ticket. The ticket was actually me texting while driving, which is like a $500 ticket journey, something outrageous. I pleaded not guilty, had to come back and the officer didn't show, so it was expunged. So Craig, my lawyer, was like, okay, well, they obviously ran your license. Nothing came through about the bench warrant. You're in the clear. I'm like, so it goes away? After a while, he's like, no, but somebody might have fucked up. They obviously ran your license if you're in the courthouse.
Yeah.
Clear. So I'm like, okay, no harm, no foul. So yesterday, I...
7 years later, is that right? I was going
to say, so you've been, other than that, like squeaky clean, no other traffic infractions, no other drunken incidents.
No. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing, which is surprising because I'm a huge shore guy. I'm here every summer, like, just basically being belligerent, jackass.
Right. You stumble into some sort of trouble, even if it's not your fault or whatever. So you've been squeaky clean, and then yesterday happens.
Yeah. Yesterday, I was supposed to come down Monday, but I decided to stay Tuesday because I had a dodgeball game because, you know, I'm an adult. And I booked down after my dodge. We get crushed. So I was pissed. So like my buddies are already down here at the bar. I book it down in like an hour, record time. And this is where it gets interesting. I'm supposed to shower at my buddy's place. And all Avalon houses in like sections are all laid out the same. They all kind of look alike. So I pull into my buddy's place. Door's unlocked, thank God. Run upstairs, like getting undressed along the way. About to hop in the shower. I go through a room to get to the bathroom. And I'm there naked, and I do a double take of the bedroom, and I'm like, I don't think they had twin beds there. And I look out.
Oh, no.
It's not the fucking place.
I'm like, you're naked in a stranger's house.
Dead naked in a stranger's house. And there's a rustling going on downstairs. And all of a sudden I hear, Julie, is that you? I'm like, holy fuck. Put on my pants, boogie out of there as fast as possible. I don't know if I left something behind, but holy shit, I've never been that scared in my life. I was a street off.
And you're sober again, right? You're not drunk stuff.
No, this is, I am dead sober. Absolutely sober. I haven't had a sip yet. So I'm like, oh my God, that's the worst thing that happens to me tonight. I'm lucky. So of course, I go to my buddy's place, get showered. And I'm always on the way to the bar, just going to leave my car there, going to drink. And we take a jitney home, which is like a cab. Right in front of the bar, cop sees me. I have no headlight. Pulls me over. Literally right in front of the bar, like at the stop sign. So everyone's like looking, taking pictures. Like, who is this drunk asshole getting accosted by the cop? Cop was very friendly, very nice. Same song and dance. Handed over my license and registration. Asked me if I had anything to drink. I was like, no, sir. And I even threw out my stats again. I'm like, you know, I'm 6'3", 230.
Yo, it didn't work the first time.
Stop throwing out stats.
Smitty. Stop
I try to shoot the shit like with these guys as much as possible because like they don't see friendly people that often. And he goes back, and he's taken a while in the back. And that's when I started getting nervous. I text my buddies inside. I'm like, yo, this bench warrant I think might fuck me. So be prepared to bail me out. I text Jordy. I'm like, yo, if you want to hear from me in 30, the blog's yours tomorrow. And I text my lawyer, Craig. I'm like, you motherfucker, I thought you said this was like a sponge for my record. I'm sitting here sweating my ass off. I don't know what's going on. If you want to hear from me in 30, I take me in. Officer comes back. He's like, step out of the vehicle, sir. Step out of the car. He's like, there's a warrant out for your arrest. I'm like, does it say for what? He's like, no, we got to go in and check it out. I'm like, all right. He's like, come to the back of the vehicle. Go to the back. Hands there. cuffed up.
Oh shit!
Like, people in the bar cheering, like just looking down.
Did anybody know who you were? Were people like, "Oh shit, Smitty's getting arrested"?
No, nobody really knew. And I was like searching for Twitter and stuff because my buddies at least were there. Like, I saw nothing. That's funny because, like, Big Cat, like, I was thinking in my head, it's like, okay, how can I make this into a good blog?
Right,
Big Cat,
right.
Like, yeah, that's how your mind is wired now.
Right.
Like, just doing this.
Yep.
So I'm in the police station, or excuse me, the police car, and he runs more files, and he goes, all right, you have an ordinance that you bailed on or something for $105. Do you have money on you? I was like, I don't have $105 in cash. I was like, he's like, do you have an ATM? I'm legally allowed to stop by Wawa and go and get you money. I was like, I lost my fucking wallet last week.
Oh my God.
I had no ATM card on me. But
what?
I did have $200 at the place I was staying at. I'm like, I have no ATM, like, but at this house in a bag. There's $200, straight cash. You can keep all 200. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to spend the night in jail. He's like, all right, I'm not supposed to do this, but we're going to the house. So I go to the house, and he's like doing all this Zero Dark 30 shit, like seeing if anyone's like going to come out because he doesn't know if people are in the place. We go up, get the money, come back out, and I have no fucking belt on. So like I have all these things in my pockets. I'm handcuffed behind the back. My pants are falling down.
Oh, my like, God. Dude.
I go to the officer, I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, but my I'm about to be drawerless pretty soon. Can you? He's like, Jesus Christ. Takes like my pants and like wrangles them up to my fucking nipples. I got a wedgie from the cop. Like atomic
well,
wedgie.
I mean, at that point, you kind of deserve a little bit of.
No, I deserved everything that was coming to me. So we go to the police station and go through the booking and stuff. And, you know, the cop was actually, you know, very nice. We're shooting the shit, like no big deal. Paid the $105, signed a couple papers and stuff, and that was it. It was basically like a bounty hunting thing. So
yeah.
I consider myself lucky because I thought initially that disorderly conduct was – I guess I didn't even look at the ticket at the time. I thought it was for, like, at least $300 because I got disorderly conduct before, and that's what it was for. But apparently, he just gave me like an open container citation for $100. No interest accumulated. I'm thinking to myself, I got off scot free on this one. Cop even drove me back to my car.
So you didn't spend any time in jail.
I was there for probably an hour in like a holding cell, and
that's long enough to be like, oh. Fuck.
Oh, it was long, dude. It was long enough in handcuffs. That's why I tweeted at Prez, dude. Those motherfucking things are the truth. Like screw like dare programs. Trying to educate you or scared straight, put kids in handcuffs and try to have them wiggle out of it. That's more than enough to avoid any sort of crime the rest of my life. I'm going straight clean.
And that's a great story, but I think the thing that I'm most shocked by is you were able to stay out of trouble for
seven years
when
yeah.
You're a guy who's reaching for sandwiches, lying about having a cell phone,
setting shit on fire,
setting things on fire.
You don't know how many situations I've talked myself out of.
Well,
that's been a dozen.
I definitely know that there's two situations you didn't talk yourself out of by
exactly.
Throwing out your stats. So that, well, I know, does not work.
You don't know how many times throwing out the stats works.
I find that hard to believe, but I'm just going to have to take your word on this one. But 6'3", 220 does not seem to be doing very well as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, survived last night. Had to go out to the bar right after. Had to celebrate. Hey, I'm clean. No longer a fugitive.
It's all about survival, man. I mean, just survive in advance. Just get back to the bar.
Wow.
There you go. I guess I don't have to do a podcast this week.
That is – I got pulled over the other day, and it was my first time in – I don't know. I had like a 10-year run where I didn't get pulled over. But the same thing started going through my head where it was like, I don't think I have any outstanding this or that, but there was that ticket I skipped out on, and there was that time that I got this and that, you know. When you have to run through the past like seven years worth of shit,
yeah.
I feel like anybody can get pinched on something. It's a miracle it wasn't worse for you.
Yeah, I feel like there are times like Smitty did with that one ticket, just rip it up. I feel like I've done that with parking tickets any number of times. Like,
right.
I don't know if that's going to come back on me or not.
Yeah, well, but that's like researching a disease. Like if you're researching like an STD long enough, you think you got that STD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can convince yourself for sure.
Yeah,
totally.
Well, so the lesson here is. I don't know what the lesson
there's
is.
There's lots of lessons. Just don't do anything.
Get drunk because you'll be able to pass your DUI field test better.
Yep.
First of all, major lesson here for everyone, don't smoke Philly blunts just as a cigar. That's ridiculous. And the potential payoff is not worth maybe setting a fucking Wawa on fire, okay? That's a major lesson. Yeah. That's the main thing to take away.
22-year-old kids.
And don't get naked in strangers' houses. Smitty,
that was the worst.
That was the most random aside of all time.
Or like there was someone in the house, like they got like a 7 Mile Island rapist over here or something. Like, I'm just praying because I boogied out of there so fast. I'm praying I didn't leave like, because I had my bag with me.
I hope
I didn't leave like a Barstool shirt behind or something.
I thought that was what was going to be what you were going to go down for. You were going to get to the bar and they were going to be like, there's reports of you being naked in a stranger's house. The fact that you got away with that, and that wasn't the part that pinched you. Ridiculous.
Yes.
All right, so it's time to get into some voicemails now. Usually that's the most ridiculous part of the show. I don't know if we'll top that, but these voicemails are brought to you by DraftKings. Baseball's in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com. The official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. It's instant cash, instant gratifications, huge cash prizes every time you play. You don't have to wait till the end of the season. Smitty, not many Phillies standouts on DraftKings at the moment. I would imagine Mikel Franco is killing it, but other than that, I'm pretty sure you want to avoid all Phillies on your roster.
Pretty much, you go against the Phillies on any given night, you're looking at a good night.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been preaching with the Mets is draft their pitchers. Or draft any of the pitchers against them, and you're good to go one way or the other. So head over to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code KFC to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That's DraftKings.com, KFC for free entry. Let me pull up the voicemails here. Shout out to our boy Connor, who went through a double batch this week. The amount of love, that guy has probably the most thankless job in the world, having to go through all this bullshit. So shout out to him. Let's dive into a female stoolie with a voicemail about her boyfriend.
So I have a problem that's about Barstool, so maybe you guys have some advice. I started sleeping with a guy, and I'm pretty sure he likes Barstool for sex. Like, we'll be laying in bed, and he'll be scrolling through your website, and then I'll literally could climb on top of him, and he'll be like, no, wait, I have to finish this. I probably start blowing. There was a new episode of your radio show. He wouldn't care. So, what about you? Like, trying to put a pill? You feel like you have a little too much, and I have no idea what to do about it.
All right, boyfriend likes Barstool too much. He'll be reading our articles in bed. She'll climb up on top of him, like, trying to bang him. He kind of pushes her off. No, I want to finish Barstool. He listens to all the podcasts more than he's into her. So, a word of advice for our female friend here, whose boyfriend is too big of a stoolie. We'll start with you, Trent. What do you think?
I mean, I don't want to go against the guy who is basically paying our salary, is the guy who reads the site all the time. But if you are wasting your if you're reading and a girl's on top of you, and you're like reading our horrible grammar and our shitty paragraph blogs, then there's something wrong with you. And if I'm her, you just got to break up with him. Because anybody who's more interested in Barstool than having sex, there's a little screw loose there. Like, again, I hate going against a guy who hardcore stoolies love him, but if there's a screw loose there, if that's the situation.
Smitty?
I agree somewhat with that, but I think there's more to the story here. She's just maybe got to let him go, let him get his fix in. The last thing she wants to do is encourage the Costanza in him and mix in food and sex and TV. Like, you don't want to get Barstool up and expect a Hummer at the same time. So I would avoid any sort of sexual contact when he is on the site. But I'd say let him go. Let him do his thing. Unless he can't be there for hours scrolling through. No,
can't take that long. We don't fucking write that much shit.
Yeah, long day at work. He's probably scrolling. Like, let him go.
Imagine like the rundown's on and your chick's trying to fuck you and you mix up like Prez's voice with...
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's an unholy matrimony right there I want no part of.
Dangerous.
I'm going to take the opposite stance here. This chick needs to be better at fucking. Because clearly it's not that good. if the guy's like, hang on, Big Daddy, he just put up a blog about Tiger on the back nine. I got to finish this up first before I fuck you. I don't want to, you know, discourage you here, babe, but I think you need to maybe put in a little bit better of an effort because, like Trent said, if you you're not normal if you want Barstool over sex. So the chances that your boyfriend's crazy, not that good. It's, you know, more likely than not, he's probably a normal guy. The chances that you are kind of lame at sex and he's like, I don't even really care, that seems more reasonable to me. So
yeah, we're not writing like Shakespeare where he's like, I have to read this right now.
Yeah.
Or it's, or I can't go on.
I don't think you're reading anything over sex.
Yeah, I mean, Shakespeare
or not.
I don't think I'm doing anything at all at this point in my life over sex. I will fucking drop anything for a chance to get my dick wet these days. So I guess it's different for the youngins. This guy's probably getting so much pussy he can't even be bothered to stop reading Barstool. I don't know if that's how the kids do it these days, but I don't know. I would say maybe step up your sex game, babe.
The marriage well dries up that fast?
Yeah. That's oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, Adam, it goes fast. It goes so fast. But to the guy, it's almost like a what would Barstool do? Like if you're sitting there reading our blog instead of having sex, think about the blog that we would write. It would be like, dude, put your phone down and have sex with this girl. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
so if
exactly.
You're that big of a Barstool fan, just think about how we would react to the situation and act accordingly. It's, you know, we're about 20 minutes in, so it's time to talk about jerking off.
Hey guys, it's Peter from Hoboken, and I was just had a dilemma for you guys. So before you go up, would you suggest either A, jerking off before, you know, relaxing yourself so that when you go out you're not as aggressive, I guess, so to speak, or do you think it's more successful for you to not jerk off, abstain, and then just get that killer animalistic instinct? What do you think gives you the best chance of getting laid and having the most fun, jerking off or abstain? Your thoughts. Thanks.
To jerk off or not to jerk off, that is the question. I subscribe to the way of life that I don't do anything before jerking off. I jerk off before every major decision. I want to jerk off to start the day. Anytime I need to write like a big blog or do a podcast, I want to crank one out so I have that clear level head. Take a test, job interview, whatever it may be, I think you got to relieve some stress. I think where he throws a curveball here, though, is he's specifically saying to go out and get laid. And I do think there's part of you that if you go out with a loaded gun and your mind is just ramped up on, you know, testosterone and a full pair of nuts, you're going to do like anything to get laid. You know, you're maybe at a point where a girl kind of shoots you down and you'd be a little bit more shy or you'd give up, you're going to be like, you know, caveman status, like, I'm going to push through this. I could see that, you know, some pure adrenaline and testosterone rolling, you might actually be able to get laid better. Not saying you're going to find the girl of your dreams, you're probably going to creep a bunch of girls out along the way, but you might be able to find that slutty slam pig who's like, all right, I'll fuck this caveman. That's just my thoughts. Smitty?
Yeah, I mean, you don't jerk off before big games or anything where you'd really need that extra, like he said, animalistic edge. And I consider that when you're trying to go out and pull some tail. If you're going out before a big date, absolutely, you got to clean the pipes.
Yeah.
It's like in the Something About Mary. I mean, you got it in your head, you're going full clean slate. But if you're going out and just trying to take something down, yeah, you got to go out like an animal.
Trent?
Yeah, it's like they don't let boxers have sex before a big match. You go out, if you're trying to get pussy, that's what you do. I thought a lot about this, actually, because I'm worried that if I jerk off, that's where my creativity is. Like, that's the part that, like, I honestly think that I'm less funny if I, and less charming, if I jerk off before I go out.
Really?
Yes, 1,000%.
Wow.
I think... Maybe it's just in my mind, but I think, like, that's the thing that, like, keeps me going. Like, if I jerk off, I'm like, oh, like, I'm relaxed. I'm out. I don't
lazy.
Care. I'll just drink 10 Jameson shots with my buddies in blackout. I don't care about getting late.
That's, I mean, two things.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah,
No.
I was going to specify here. At the end, he says, if you're going out and you're trying to get laid and you're trying to have a good time, what's the best thing to do? To me, those are two very separate things. Going out and trying to get laid is not fun. At least for me, it was fucking hard. It's stressful. It's work. I don't know, you know, if you guys are Casanovas here and it's just falling onto your dick, that's a different story. Having fun to me is, like you said, ripping a bunch of shots with your buddies, eat some pizza, you fucking crack some jokes. That's fun. That I think you can jerk off before. If you're this. Like, look. I need to get laid, I need some vagina here, I think maybe having a full load is a good idea.
Look at this.
Clearly Trent agrees.
Look at this face. The pussy's not falling from the ceiling, so there's space. So I need every advantage I can get. And I actually, like you said, writing a big blog, you would jerk off before. I'm the opposite. I think my creativity flows way better if I have a loaded gun. Like, I'm way more relaxed if I don't. But
you're like power source. You have like this creativity deep in your plums when you're just like filled up.
I can't just That's waste ridiculous. That on a dish rag. I can't. My livelihood is like trying to create things and be funny. I can't just have that sitting in a dirty dish rag. I can't have that.
That's incredible. I mean, people ask us all the time, like, I want to start a blog. Like, what should I do? And Trent's just like, don't jerk off, man. Never jerk off again. You'll be the funniest blogger.
That's how I just figure all the big time comedians, they just never jerk off, I imagine.
You go for the dirty dish rag as the jizz rag?
That was perfect. Just an example. Whatever's around. Whatever I can tell.
That's worse. That was clearly a dramatic effect. For me, it's always yesterday's boxers. Everybody has their own thing that they might throw it into.
To each their own. Just clean it up. Don't leave it. But that's my I think that's it. I'm more creative when I don't jerk off.
That was absolutely unbelievable, Trent. Before we get into another voicemail, when you guys were younger, did you have magazine subscriptions?
Big kid Sports Illustrated guys.
Sports Illustrated, ESPN, the magazine, stuff
Trent,
like that.
Trent, did you do like The Source and Double XL like I did?
I did. All the other ones, my dad would order the Sports Illustrated and the ESPN, and I would order the Double XL I had come to myself because I don't need my Iowa dad seeing that I'm ordering Double XL.
Right, right. Hey, I hear that. That's more shameful than getting like porn delivered to your house is when you get the black rapper magazines. Your dad would be like, really,
yeah,
Trent?
He'd be horrified, yeah.
Hey, Nintendo Power, rest in
Nintendo
peace.
Power was a great one. Oh. A great one. So magazines have kind of gone by like the wayside now because of technology and because of just the way the world's gone. But why does it have to be that way? Next Issue is a new company that is basically like Netflix for magazines. You pay a monthly subscription and you get access to like dozens of titles that are your favorite sort of publications that we were just talking about. You got Sports Illustrated for the girls. There's Cosmo and Allure. For the intellectual, there's National Geographic. For the music fan, there's Rolling Stone. You get all the major publications, and it's all right on your tablet, your iPhone, whatever, all in one app, in one space. And it's at a good low price. So you can start your 30-day free trial right now at nextissue.com/KFC. They deliver it right to your tablet the same way. As soon as stuff hits newsstands in print, you have access to all those exact news articles, so there's no restrictions on anything you get. And like I said, it's at a good cheap price for – it's just like Netflix for magazines. So once again, head over to nextissue.com/KFC. You'll get a 30-day free trial right now, and you can dive back into the world of magazines. Keep moving with voicemails here. Kind of a different question here, but interesting, about suburban white girls.
Yeah, Allie.
Yo, guys, what's going on? Just wanted your opinion on something, like a family issue, actually. So my sister just graduated college. She's a classic hippie, totally immature, never had a real job, babysitter, nonsense. And she's kind of just not doing anything with her life. She's, probably a few months away from being a bartender or a few months away from finishing college to be a teacher, right? An extra year to get an education degree. I'm trying to think of something to kind of snap her into real life. I don't know if it's one of those TV shows where they put the really bad inner city kids into a jail and they scare them straight. She's a white suburban girl. I don't know what to do. My parents are super old school, as you'd imagine, and she actually just admitted that she's dating a black gentleman. So I'm in the process of, seeing if my dad's going to die over that. He might. Just things are chaotic, and I guess the ultimate thing is how do you scare straight a white suburban girl with no motivation to ever do anything?
That voicemail is so... That voicemail is solely... there's nothing else needed other than That's, my sister's dating a black guy. How do we stop this? That's all it was.
White supremacy. That is an extremely scared brother, that voicemail. Yeah. He is just like, what the fuck is going on?
But here's the thing. On top of the old school parents and the dad who's going to freak out about her dating a black guy and all that shit, how do you scare straight a suburban white girl? Like, the answer is, I don't think you do. I think being a suburban white girl who's not fucking scared straight is, it's bliss. Ignorance is fucking bliss. Like, you can live with your parents forever and nobody really cares. You eventually, like, move out and move in with a dude, be it this black fella or someone else. You become a teacher and nobody really cares. You pop out some kids. Why would you be scared straight? Why would you ever change? I would do that forever if I was a chick.
Yeah, it's if you try to start doing, like, making something of yourself is when the hardships come, is when, like, everything's awful. Like, if I could – yeah, I know girls just like this. They are just babysitters. They're just – they don't do anything, and they have the best life ever.
Right, because they're – I mean, you don't – if you don't try, you can't fail, and that's my motivation for the just kids today.
Keep that bar, like, embarrassingly low.
So low. Date whatever. Fucking be a babysitter. Be a lifeguard. Whatever. You're allowed to do that because you're a white suburban girl.
I think he's probably just jealous of his sister because he's got to go out there and do stuff.
There is no such thing as rock bottom for a white suburban girl. None. And if there is, it just sends her all the way down the rabbit hole to like a crack cocaine addiction, and that would be getting knocked up by this guy, and the family just completely disowns her.
Well, that's going to kill the dad. That would
be one way to step. That would be the ideal way. That she should snap out of reality, but no, she's so far down the rabbit hole at that point, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like this guy's dad is going to kill himself. So that might snap, you know, that might change things when you killed your dad. That definitely, you know,
get pregnant by the black guy, kill your dad, and then she'll be like, oh my God, this is awful, I need to change my way of living.
No, but she's already tainted in his eyes. Like, there's no way of coming back from that. That's why you'll only do worse.
I am sure our sponsors love being associated with that last comment. Get pregnant by the black guy, kill your dad, and then you're right. Oh, man. It's hard to...
AdamandEve.com. Get the KFC in the corner. Get those free gifts, people.
There's some interracial stuff in there that I'm sure you guys would love. Don't worry about it. Let's move on. Let's talk about the friend zone.
Hey guys, so I got a dilemma. I'm about to be homeless. Well, my lease is almost done. And this hot smoke show, who I am friend-zoned through the roof with, offered me to live with her next year. So, the question is, I know there's always a chance to be that mistake, but I don't think it's a possibility. Is it even worth it, or will I be miserable next year? Viva.
Should you move in with a super hot friend zone chick? I feel like there's going to be some differing answers here. Start with you, Smitty.
No, absolutely not. If you're in the friend zone, there's no way of getting out of it unless you win the lottery. I don't know how good this cat looks by his confidence. I'm going to say not great. Like, he's not going to dig himself out of that friend zone hole living with her. And it's only going to be worse when she's bringing home whatever she brings home, and just sends him further into his psychotic mind that, okay, this guy sucks. What are you doing? This guy sucks. I'm the guy of your dreams, and it's only going to be worse. Not to mention, live with chicks sucks. Absolutely sucks.
That is true.
I'll go the other way with it, because it depends on what his expectations are when moving with her. Like, is it casual sex constantly? Then he's fucked. Like, if that's what his expectations are, then he should move in with her. But if it's that one night, you both go to the bar, you get shit drunk, and you come back and you fuck her once, if that's what he's looking for, that's possible.
That doesn't happen in the friend zone. That doesn't happen.
I was going to say, more to the point, it sounds to me like he knows he's fully in the friend zone and is not going to fuck this girl, whether it's one night or consistently ever again. So when he started off the voicemail saying, I'm about to be out of my lease, I don't have anywhere to live, if it's the choice between like moving back home with your parents or living solo and, you know, losing all your money on rent, or this chick offers you a place to stay, I could see a scenario where you would take the chick. But you have to fully understand, I'm the friend zone loser, and there's nothing that's going to happen here. If you're okay, the friend zone is only terrible if you want out of the friend zone. If you've just kind of accepted it, I mean, there are plenty of girls I've encountered that are way too hot for me that I'm just like, I'm friendly with that girl, but she's never going to fuck me, and I'm okay with that. So I'm not freaking out about it left and right constantly. If this you have sounds- any expectation, now I guess the other side of it is what Smitty said. Living with a chick, you only do that if you have to. Yeah. It is terrible. It's
miserable.
Terrible. So
I don't know if I believe you when you say I can totally take myself out of it. Like, I'm so in the friend zone that I never think I'm going to have a shot. Like, if that girl's that hot, I think you're always going to be kind of driving yourself crazy about it.
Well, yeah, okay. I was going to say, in the back of my head, I'd always be like, I hope so. I'm always going to give it a go. But if every time you get shot down, you're going to be upset about it, you can't do that to yourself. If you have some level of acceptance, which, you know, I guess you're saying, I can understand that. It's not possible to ever just be okay with that.
Yeah.
But if it's not, if the alternative, let's say, is a terrible living situation, and you can just accept the fact you're never going to fuck her,
it's terrible all around, because hot girls love putting guys in the friend zone. They love it because it's power trip.
Right.
It's a control. You have them on a leash all the time. You can do whatever you want to them and not ask for anything back, and they will be a puppy dog the entire time.
Trent, any last words on that?
You seem like you're in a friend zone, and like you just have like little things in the back of your mind going on.
No, I mean, I'm sure I have been friend zoned. I don't know, but not enough where. I mean, I would never. I don't think I could ever live with a chick that if she's super hot that friend zoned me. Like, that would drive me nuts.
Would you move in with Gracie Tracy?
Well, we're not friend zoned.
I was gonna say you're not in the friend zone there. So would you live with would you live with Gracie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Move in. strip clubs.
Hey, Steve, it's Clemmy. Got a story for you. My roommate comes home the other night, super stoked, saying how a couple of his buddies from work opinion at like this strip club hangout. They're gonna go to the strip club and hang out and, you know, get messed up. And he works with his girlfriend. She's a receptionist at the office. She's gonna go. Now, she's going to the strip club. She's gonna be the only girl there. She's gonna go to the strip club with the guys, and he's like, this is awesome, right? I'm like, dude, that might be the worst idea of all time. Now, am I in the wrong here, or am I in the right? Because going to the strip club with your work buddy and your girlfriend does not seem like the best idea. All right, let me know later.
Strip clubs with the girlfriend, specifically strip club with the girlfriend and work buddies. Yes or no? Cool, not cool? Would you do it? Would you not? Trent, you seem to be a little cautious about that.
I think it's okay. Unless she's like a wild, if you don't trust her to not take her top off in front of your work friends, because I don't know, like the strip clubs, the girls will see on stage, will see another girl and pull her on stage and make her take her top off. If you can trust your girl not to do that, then I think it's okay.
I don't think I've ever seen that happen, Trent, but I love, I mean, maybe that's
what
an Iowa
out
thing.
There.
That's definitely a thing. They definitely do that. At ours, at here, they will pull girls on stage.
Well, I need to go to a strip club in Iowa then.
Yeah. That's definitely, I know. Now I probably look like an idiot now, but that's definitely a thing that happens here.
That's great.
Yeah, they just like pull.
So
like,
just normal people and their girlfriends. So if you go as a girl to a strip club, you are live on Iowa to just fucking show your tits whenever you're pulled up on stage.
Yes, that's a thing.
Yes, like absolutely. He's like, I don't understand why you're laughing. I don't get the joke. This is what happens.
I'm shocked by the looks on your faces because that happens constantly at Iowa strip clubs.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I think I've seen it like in the movies, like a drunk girl gets pulled on stage. I didn't think it happened in real life. Well, that definitely changes everything. Because I was gonna say, you don't want your work buddies like seeing your girlfriend be like a drunk slutty chick, not necessarily getting on stage and stripping, but you know, throwing dollar bills at a stripper or getting a lap dance, and then all the buddies at work are like, hey. Yeah, look at Smitty's girlfriend. She's a fucking slut who loves strip clubs. If she actually gets on stage and strips, that's even more ridiculous. So, yeah, you'd have to be worried about that if you work in Iowa. If you work in the real world, the rest of society, I don't think that's quite as concerning.
They say chivalry is dead. Not in Iowa, baby. Not in Iowa.
I mean, hey, that's got to be flattering if you're a chick. And I mean, I think that might speak to the quality of girls on stage in Iowa, like that they're just having random chicks up there.
It's not great.
Yeah, I can imagine it's not that good.
It's not. We go there because it's extra. You can go there, like, they're open 2 hours after the bar. You can drink till 4 a.m. there because the bar's closed at 2.
Got it.
So it's, and then, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's all starting to make a little more sense. I'm starting to understand Iowa strip clubs a little better. Smitty, your take on hitting the strip club with a girlfriend or girls or work buddies or whatever.
It all depends. If the girl's like a dude, absolutely fine. I wouldn't expect, like, it blows my mind that's what goes on, but I wouldn't expect anyone, a girl, to be, like, just slutty or whatever at a strip club. I just expect her to be, like, one of the dudes, just kind of hang out. But if she has an ounce of jealousy in her mind towards other girls, are you looking at other girls? No, absolutely not. That would just...
And that
spark
is
so many fires.
That's, I don't care who you are. I don't care how much of a guy you're trying to be, how cool you're trying to be. Every girl has some level of jealousy in there. If you're getting a lap dance, if you're gawking at other chicks, so don't fall for this idea that you've got the cool girlfriend who doesn't care.
Plus, you can be cool with you can like try to lay low with like your girlfriend at the strip club, but all your work buddies are going to be going eight tits.
Well, and that's the thing.
And she's going to be like, "Oh, this is what you do when I'm not here."
Right.
Right.
And you know who definitely doesn't want that? You don't want that. She doesn't want that. And your buddies don't want that. Nope. Your buddies don't want like a narc on their hands. When you go to the strip club, shit's going to happen. Guys want to be guys. They want to get away from all that shit. You're the guy bringing sand to the beach. You're the guy bringing your girl who's going to like judge them, or they have to worry about what they do. So whether your girl's cool or not, who cares? Your buddies are the ones who are going to be like, get this chick the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's on the guy. He's got to decide if he's got the kind of girl that can be in that environment and not
it's
be
like,
a
you
wet
probably
blanket.
Don't. You really, I mean, even if you think you do, chances are you don't because most girls.
And she might get pulled up on stage. Who knows?
That's so
fucking outrageous. Come visit, Smitty. Come visit.
Yeah.
I'm there. I am there.
I might just hop in the car right now and drive out to Iowa. Because
I'll bring all my exes and just drop them off there.
I'm gonna hop in the car. I'm going to cruise to Iowa where there's over 4 million miles of road across the United States to drive and cover a lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, and long ways on the way to beautiful Iowa and their wondrous strip clubs where all sorts of things can go down. So if driving matters to you and you want to go out and see Big Daddy Trent in Iowa, maybe, you know, drive to the gas station and back, do all the things that Trent does on the open road in middle America, get a Mazda because driving matters to you, driving matters to them. So get out there and drive Mazda. We'll do a couple more voicemails and we will wrap it up. Let's see. What's a good one here? Let's talk about I didn't even screen these last ones, so who knows what's about to pop up. Let's talk about India.
This is Steven from Madison. I gotta go to Bangalore, India for 4 months for work, so I was wondering what recommendations you guys have for the guy that has to live in India for a few months. So,
gotta go to India for work for 4 months. What recommendations do I have? Get a new fucking job, dude. One that lets you work in America for the next 4 months.
And why does he think we're like the experts on what to take to India?
I mean, you're talking to the wrong crowd. I don't think there's
I haven't left this new apartment in like 26 hours. I don't go out there.
Yo, my previous job, we opened up an office in India. And the idea was that they could work when we were sleeping. So it was like an around-the-clock situation. But what they needed to do was send some normal American white people over there to train the Indian kids and like, you know, start the group up. So they were asking everyone at the group if they would go over. And, you know, there were some perks, like they paid for everything. And so basically your paycheck was like straight profit. But they took everyone to lunch and they asked them. And I'll never forget going to lunch with one of the partners at the firm. And he was a cool dude. Irish guy. We used to just shoot the shit about sports and drink, and he, you know, we kind of like never had like a business relationship, but he sits down with me at lunch and he just starts laughing and he was like, I'm like obliged to ask everyone in the group, will you go over and work in India? So I have to ask you, like, I know what the answer is. And we both just like laughed out loud, like, there's no fucking way, A, that I would go over there, B, that you want me like starting a group in another country. Like, I'm not the good candidate for that either. I mean, it was nice to work at a place where it was just known, no fucking way this is going to work out. So I don't know, to this dude, if you're stuck in a job where they want you over in India, that ain't good, man. I don't know. There's no good way to spin this other than, I mean, I'm sure maybe you get a pay bump. I'm sure you could get into some interesting shit in India that maybe you wouldn't allow yourself to back home. But you can also do that in, like, Las Vegas. You don't have to go to fucking India for 4 months.
Yeah. 4 months is a long time.
I mean, you start to think back 4 months ago, you know, they're like, Smitty still had a warrant out for his arrest. Prez hadn't been arrested. Trent lived in a different place. You know, championships have been won and lost in that time. A lot of time goes by in 4 fucking months to live in India where they literally, like, shit in the streets still. It's not like I'm being, you know, overly ridiculous. Like, India is a disgusting, terrible place to live.
No, like, there's like 20 trillion people there.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not big at all to hold that many people. I once said that India was the size of Texas. I was very, very wrong on that. It's much, much larger than Texas. But it's still not enough to hold 1.2 billion people. It's so small. Those trains with everyone dangling off the sides, awful. People shitting in the streets, awful. The food, awful. Why would anyone ever want to go to India? Don't do it.
You brought up a good point. Trying to follow sports, I bet, is a nightmare. Like, I bet, I don't know if they have it on at the bars or whatever, and it's a time difference. And there's no good side to go to India for 4 months.
We cheaped out on we went backpacking to Europe after college, and we cheaped out on the transatlantic flight to Heathrow to London. We decided to go Air India.
Oh, boy.
And let me tell you, never again.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Never again.
It's like, let's take everything about India, cram it into this fuselage and put you 30,000 feet in the air where you can't escape.
Yeah, and the worst part was they put, like, Everybody Loves Raymond on, which I was like, all right, I can at least distract myself a little bit. It was in fucking Hindu. Like, what's going on here? Like, you can't win.
Just that little bit of Americanness they just snatch right from you.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I could say to salvage it is like, you know, you hear these stories about people who move to, like, Thailand or some shit like that. And they always say, like, white people live like kings, and like the dollar goes, you know, a million miles out there. So I would, you know, I would spend a shit ton of money to try to surround myself with stuff I like. But
I blogged it multiple times. A rupee in the Ocarina of Time is worth more than a rupee in India. Absolutely.
Very valid point. I think that's where we're going to wrap up our last bit of advice. Don't go to India, and if you do, spend all your fucking money. We learned a lot today. We learned how to beat a DUI test by being drunk. We learned that...
Don't say that. Don't...
We learned that strip clubs in Iowa are awesome. Very educational episode from you guys, so I thank you for coming on. Very, very good performance. Any final words from either of you two?
One thing I want to plug... Trent, I'll actually talk to you about this later. We got a Barstool Philly golf tournament going on in Avalon, if I'm not arrested for something new by then next month. Check out our charity that we're doing it for. It's called Brave Hearts for Strong Minds. It helps out kids who have lost parents when they were young. So financially, it helps them out to go to college. It's called Brave Hearts for Strong Minds. It's in every link about the golf blog. It's really local. The guys are stoolies. They love the site. They love helping the kids out. So just try and check that out if you have free time.
Very cool. When's the golf outing?
August 15th.
Is it already – everything's filled up as far as
– Everything's set in we're pretty much filled up. I mean, if you guys want to come down, like I already talked to – Dave said something's going on that day where everyone else is like a wiffle ball thing or something. I don't know if I want to drop that yet, but he's not going to be able to make it down, I know. But anybody else is more than welcome. But I've got Digest there.
Look at this.
It'll be a day. Last year, we got 4 kegs. A keg and a half was kicked before tea time.
Oh, so
you're just savages coming up. A lot of people from Long Island and New York. I was surprised last year.
I bet.
Good stuff. They're actually railing you for not setting one up.
I know. People, that happens in the Barstool world in general. It's like, oh, why didn't you set up a game watch? Why didn't you set up this? Setting up a golf outing is not easy, I'm sure you can attest. Like, unless
if I didn't have interns on it, like no shot.
I don't have any golf golf course hookups. I don't have any way to fucking put together a massive golf outing. So I don't know. Go down to Avalon, guys. Sorry, but yeah, definitely check out that charity. Sounds like a good cause. Sounds like it should be a fun day. Big Daddy, enjoy that new apartment, man. I want to see, you know, you're on 26 hours. I want you to be there for like 108 straight before you leave.
I'm never leaving.
Just, it's gas station, home, strip club, home. That's it.
So I don't have roommates anymore, so I have no like society pressures to be a normal human being.
That's
so
great. Done. That's
awesome.
Are you
wearing pants right now? That's a real question.
Maybe not. You don't know.
And I mean, I want a big funny day out of you tomorrow on the blog, so don't jerk off tonight, all right, Trent?
All right, I'll try not to.
Is this Barstool?
BarstoolSports.com. Is that right? BarstoolSports.com.
It's your boy KFC.
Become kind of a craze.
Your boy Big Cat.
Kind of a craze.
And your boy Feindelberg.
So go to BarstoolSports.com. If you do, God bless you.
You listen to KFC Radio.